Thank you for joining Manners and Other Matters, the podcast which brings you all the insights you need to navigate the intricate world of modern manners and elegant living. I'm your host, Louise Percy, and I'm delighted to be your guide on this journey towards a more refined and gracious way of life. I'm here to share my knowledge and insights with you, and I will also be bringing in a lineup of experts from the worlds of etiquette and elegant living to share their wisdom and experiences. The art of etiquette isn't just about following a set of rigid, traditional rules. It's about fostering meaningful relationships, both in your personal and professional life. Whether you're dining with colleagues, entertaining guests, or simply striving for a more elegant lifestyle. Subscribe to Manners and Other Matters today, and let's explore the world of etiquette, manners, and the pursuit of elegance together. Welcome to Manners and Other Matters. Today I have a really interesting episode because I'm going to be talking about the contemporary etiquette of aircraft travel. It's not always elegant, but before I go into the do's and don'ts of airline travel in 2024, I'm going to take you through the first class flight I had in the 1970s on a Boeing 747 and the mistakes I made. So I was so fortunate in the 1970s to have a first class trip on a 747. For a number of reasons, my father was a diplomat and at the Australian Embassy in Washington, D.C. I quite separately had been given a deferral to the Australian National University to do international law and politics. And so it seemed like a perfect segue to go out to the Australian Embassy. And I was given a job there, which was amazing. But let's go back to the flight. So in those days, the Boeing 747s had two levels, but they didn't have two levels for everybody. You had the first class, you had really almost before business class, you then had a bubble at the top, which had a bar and lounge seating in it. It was just mesmerizing for a young woman who had just left school. So I had recently turned 18, which was a bonus because I could legally drink on the aircraft. We are Australians, and so 18 is that legal cutoff. And so I boarded the aircraft with some trepidation, but also because I'd been raised by diplomatic parents, I had a certain level of what I would say is understanding of appropriate behaviour. I'm not going to say anything more than that. Anyway, I sat down in seat 1B and my travelling companion joined me in 1A. My gosh, he was gorgeous. And he was a very eloquent communicator. And in those days, when you were dining in first class, the flight attendants came around with a beautiful trolley, normally sort of quite gilded. And on it, there would be a range of beautiful drinks, cocktails, champagnes, caviar, smoked salmon, whatever you liked, and some unusual bits. So trying to be terribly sophisticated, I said to my gorgeous traveling companion, "Would you mind ordering for me?" And he did. An artichoke as a first course, or an appetizer, entree, we say here in Australia. Well, I'd never seen an artichoke. I didn't know what to do with an artichoke. And my dear listeners, I learnt my very first lesson, I think, of mature age etiquette, and that is, if in doubt, don't. And my first lesson in what would become my adult personal development journey, which was, don't ever try to be anything that you're not. Anyway, when I looked at my gorgeous traveling companion, he had such a twinkle in his eye. So when this artichoke was delivered to me, I actually learned another lesson of etiquette that I've passed on over all these years to my clients, which is, if in doubt, A, don't, but B, always ask. And he showed me with a knife and fork and fingers how to eat an artichoke. It was honestly a fundamental change in the way I thought about etiquette and manners and me. It was extraordinary. And in those days, when you were actually being attended to, whether in economy, coach, or first class, remembering this was the days before business class, the flight attendants were beautifully prepared. Not only were they groomed to a standard, they were elegant. As I say, it didn't matter where you traveled on the aircraft, they were elegant. And a lot of people made the mistake of thinking that the flight attendants or hostesses in those days, we had male flight attendants that came through a bit later, were just there to actually provide you with comfort. What a mistake everybody made in those days, and I think continue to. In 2024, these people are so highly trained to ensure that our safety is paramount on every flight that we board internationally, across the board. I choose to travel Qantas or some of its business partners. In fact, I'm leaving in September to go back to France to my favourite village, which is called Villefranche-sur-Mer, and it's between Nice and Monaco, and it's where there is the most extraordinary language school where you can have immersion language. I choose at my age to not wake up feeling pretty yucky the next morning when I've only got a 3-week holiday, might be going to school or not. And so I do travel business class. But what do I do when I'm actually traveling? Do you know, my dear listeners, there is actually an etiquette, whether you're traveling in business class or you're traveling coach or economy. So do always remember that when you're actually arriving at the airport, you should be there at least 20 minutes before they say you should be. And why is this? Because it's going to save you hassle. Traveling these days is not an easy thing through airports. I mean, how many of us have the opportunity to fly on private aircraft? Certainly not me. So be patient and kind to all those around you during the security checks and boarding. And do always be aware that there is personal space that we all feel comfortable with. And it differs depending on the country and the culture that you're encountering. Look around you, see what the personal space is, and adhere to that personal space comfort level of those around you. I think that boarding etiquette is really important. Please arrive on time. And respect the boarding zones. There are always boarding zones these days, and quite often there will be boarding times depending on where you are seated in the aircraft, and I'm going to go back to that one in a few moments. Always have your documents ready. There is no point in thinking that you're going to have a seamless boarding process if you don't have your documents at the ready, and there are so many wonderful ways of doing that these days with the great technology that we have. And again, mind your personal space in the queue. If somebody pushes in, jumps the queue by about 2 people, does it really affect you? You're not late for the flight because you've already been there on time, you're organized. Sometimes it's better to just let these things go. But now, when we board the aircraft, I want to make a particular comment about overhead compartment use. About 5 months ago, I was travelling back from Sydney to Perth, which is my hometown here in Australia, and Sydney being on the other side of the country, it's a 5-hour flight. And I choose to just carry with me a light carry-on bag. And I will say this, even though some of you might say, why do you need a brand name? It's a Longchamp pliage bag. It's very malleable, and I can put everything I need, and normally it can fit into the overhead compartment without any difficulty. But 5 months ago, I had a situation where my compartment was completely full and I was only in row 12 in economy, and I'd boarded quite quickly. And it became apparent that what was happening is that people who were going further back in the aircraft to seats numbered 36 onwards were actually putting their luggage wherever they wanted, so they didn't have to wheel it up the aisle. And a lot of the luggage, because so many of us are choosing carry-on rather than check-in because the check-in might have a cost attached, and the aircraft staff, the flight attendants, are really busy, so they don't necessarily see the size of what you're bringing on as carry-on, there's become a new set of guidelines, it would appear. Because with this 5 month trip that I had, and I couldn't get my own tiny little bag up there, I put a reel up on Instagram. And it's had, gosh, I think it's about 150,000 views, which for a lot of people isn't a lot. But for a small etiquette consultancy, it's quite a lot. And I've had over 250 comments. Some people have said, yes, Louise, you should be able to put your luggage above where you're seating. Other people have said, well, don't be so pretentious, put it under your feet. Other people have said, I need to have my luggage near me because I have medication in it, or I need to have my luggage, overhead luggage we're talking here, the carry-on, near me because I have children. And in this one instance, what happened was when I was trying to put my bag up, a man who was on the other side of the aircraft or the other side of the aisle, I tried to move his bag a little bit and he said, don't you dare touch my bag. And I said, well, I'm just trying to make a little room for my bag. And he got really quite upset. And remembering that he's not seated in the six seats that would be normally available for the compartment above my seat, he was seated on the other side of the aisle. I just said, look, it's fine, I'll put it at my feet. But I didn't really want to do that. It was going to be a 5-hour flight and I had a small handbag as well. And so he started getting quite upset. And so the flight attendant actually came up and said, is everything all right? And I said, well, yes, I'm just trying to put my bag up, but this gentleman's bag is above the compartment and I can't fit my bag. With that, the gentleman got out of his seat and said, well, there's nowhere else I can put it. And so the flight attendant said, yes, there is, sir. This is your bag, is it not? And he said, yes. And she said, well, apart from the fact it's oversized, it shouldn't be on this side of the aisle because your side is there and you could have put it on any of the overhead lockers on your side, which would have made it more accessible for you, perhaps. And she removed the bag. I don't know where she put it. He must have got it at some other time. But it really led me to the dilemma of, do we have a right to put our bags up in the overhead compartment above our seat? And it would seem that there are no guidelines that are set in stone for that. And nothing should ever be set in stone. I mean, sometimes you can be in a compartment and the crew have their safety equipment there or whatever, and they will tell you where they're going to put your bag, or they will make an extra allowance for you to have another bag at your feet. But this is etiquette on airline travel. Be kind to each other. We're going to be traveling for a number of hours above 30,000 feet, soaring above the clouds in metal birds. And to me, it seems really important, in fact, increasingly crucial, to balance our personal comfort with consideration for those who are sharing the cabin. And so I suppose that then leads me on to reclining seats. So many people get really upset if people recline their seats to the full extent. And I must say I did have this recently. But I must say that also in travelling across my country, which I do regularly, whenever there is a meal service, the flight attendants will come through and say to anybody reclining their seat, would you please put your seat upright for meal service? And I think that's fair enough. But then I had a situation on a flight where I was traveling economy coach. And the gentleman it had in front of me, or woman, actually, I can't remember, had had actually a special meal. So it had been bought out quite quickly for them before, obviously, the trolleys came through, the other meals and the drinks. And they had finished. And so by the time they finished, they were ready to go to sleep. And they reclined their seat so far that the seat table that was coming out of the seat back actually hit me in the chest to the point where I thought, I'm not sure how to deal with this. So I actually decided, without bothering the flight attendants, to obviously put my tray table up and then try and squeeze out of my seat. I do always choose to have an aisle seat, by the way. And I did just say, look, do you mind keeping your seat at least halfway upright because my meal hasn't arrived? And the other passenger was so polite and said, look, please, I'll just keep my seat upright until you finish your meal. Please just let me know when it's convenient for me to recline. This is an easy way to get over something that a lot of people find quite awkward and become, if I might say, a bit belligerent about. And so this leads me on to perhaps dining etiquette at 30,000 feet. I am so lucky that I can travel both up the pointy end of the plane and here in, as we say in Australia, that's business class. But also I travel regularly in economy or coach. And I'm always intrigued by the people that actually leave their table manners down on terra firma or on the ground. It doesn't matter where I am, I see people, and I'm not being a sneaky etiquette consultant here, but I think that sometimes if you're traveling particularly economy or coach and you've got a 3-4-3 alignment, and you're actually eating really badly and making it uncomfortable for the person next to you, let's say in the middle, if you're on an aisle like me, I think consideration is really important. If you've got your seat table recessed, that's one thing. You can't do anything. But once your seat table is down, you don't share somebody else's seat table. You don't say, oh, look, I've got so much more food than you, I'm just going to put my glass here. That's not the way it works. Respect, kindness, and consideration for personal space is, I think, really, really important. And it's not always easy eating at 38,000 feet, let's be fair. And in this day and age, I must say that when you get a small box meal with small cutlery and everything else, it can make it really awkward. So my suggestion is always just look at the people next to you. Your fellow passengers who are literally sharing an armrest with you. So with dining etiquette at 30,000 feet, it's not always easy. Please remember that the flight attendants are always really busy at this time. And if you would like an extra glass of wine, for example, just say, may I have another white wine when it's convenient for you to come back? I think that's absolutely important. Now, for those of you that don't want to communicate with fellow travellers or it's just too difficult, and quite often I feel that myself, we use the electronic media. Now, do remember that your general level of electronic media is offered by the aircraft. I choose always to not only have my own earbuds or earphones, but also a power pack, a battery power pack. And so be very cautious if you're not watching a movie or whatever and you're listening to your favorite music at many, many decibels, that in a quite confined space, your fellow passengers are going to be able to listen as well. So it's really one of those times where kindness, consideration, and respect for others is just so important. The other thing is, and this is a bit of a sensitive one, that if you're actually watching movies from your own iPad, let's say that you've already downstreamed, make sure that there's nothing there that is more than, let's say, MA rated, because you might be having children nearby and you don't really need them seeing any R-rated material on the aircraft. I know that sounds maybe a bit bizarre, but I have seen it myself because people think, well, I'm just going to enjoy finishing this movie that maybe they're watching the night before at home. And it's incorrect content to have in a public space. Just saying. Now, the other thing leading on from that is the restroom etiquette. The restrooms are tiny on aircraft. It doesn't matter how you fly, they're small. They do normally have signs up over the basin saying, please respect your fellow passengers and wipe down the basin after you've used it. And we have paper hand towels, etc. Please do it. It's so much nicer than going in and seeing somebody who's cleaned their teeth and left their toothpaste bits and pieces around. And the other thing is the etiquette of what happens if you have a terrible tummy situation on an aircraft. Nobody ever talks about that, but I'm going to today. If you have a terrible tummy situation, do just go in after you've alleviated perhaps part of the problem and do mention to the flight attendant that unfortunately you've had a terrible tummy situation and the bathroom may need a little air freshener. And if I've ever had that situation, what I do with a flight attendant who's helped me is I just give them a little tip at the end of the flight to say, thank you so much for saving me from any embarrassing situations. We all have them. It's not that you're on your own. And it's not that because you're an etiquette consultant, these things don't happen. They do. But why don't we all remember that prior preparation prevents poor performance? The Percy Institute 5Ps always have a little change on you so that if something comes up, you're able to say thank you very genuinely, not just with a smile and a warm tone of voice, but with something a little extra. Now, when you're getting ready to leave the aircraft, please do so kindly and respectfully, not only for the flight attendants, but don't push your way through because you are one of the people who has put your carry-on up the front of the aircraft so you didn't have to wheel it down to the back. Usually we're asked to disembark or deplane in rows. Please be respectful of those in front of you. Always let those, even if they're taking up 30 seconds extra of your time, leave before you if they're at the row in front. And so now looking forward to travel etiquette, there are going to be so many opportunities that are opening up for all of us. I think that when we're put into a small, confined space, being kind, considerate, respectful to not only your fellow passengers, but the flight attendants is absolutely paramount and should be at the front of our thoughts rather than our own comfort. And now a little side story. When I was recently, more recently than 5 months ago, travelling back from Sydney, I was lucky enough to be travelling in business class, and a very well-known dignitary, I won't say whether they were celebrity, politician or whatever, was travelling back with me. And this particular person took their shoes off and put them up on the seat in front, bare feet, and then put them on the window when they were more uncomfortable. And when I went up to use the powder room, the ladies' room, the bathroom, at the front of the aircraft, one of the crew who recognised me said, oh, Louise, do you mind asking me what you think we should do with this? Because it's quite offensive to us as flight attendants, and it's not a good look for anybody else. This person is in an aircraft in a public space, not at home with their feet up. And my suggestion was always have a supply, it was Qantas, right, of Qantas slippers so that you could say, perhaps you will be more comfortable in these. What do you think? I look forward to your comments about future travel etiquette, changes. Am I old-fashioned? Please do let me know. You can leave comments on my Instagram page, which is The Percy Institute. You can leave comments on the Facebook page, which is The Percy Institute. And you can also email l.percy at thepercyinstitute.com. I really appreciate your feedback. And do keep an eye out on this particular podcast, because I'm going to be delving into the world in a few weeks of cruising etiquette, particularly for those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, where cruising is going to start becoming a really wonderful part of your spring and summer. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Your time and attention are greatly appreciated, and I hope you've found our discussion both enlightening and inspiring. If you've enjoyed our conversation and want to stay connected with us on this journey of elegance and refinement, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favourite podcast platforms. And why not share the wisdom with your friends and family? Etiquette is best enjoyed when it's a shared experience, after all. And for all the latest updates, behind-the-scenes moments, and exclusive content, be sure to follow The Percy Institute on Facebook and Instagram. And please also do join my Facebook group. It's called The Elegance Club, and you'll get exclusive offers and bonuses. Remember, the pursuit of a more elegant life is a continuous journey, and I'm delighted to share your journey. Feedback and engagement mean the world to me here, so please keep those comments, questions, and suggestions coming. I love hearing from you. So until next time, my dear listeners, stay graceful, stay kind, and may your life be filled with elegance and joy. Thank you for being a part of Manners and Other Matters. Goodbye for now.